It's The Car Doctor with Kevin Raywinkle and Tom Claxton on FM Talk 106.5. Call Kevin and Tom now at 343-0106 with your car maintenance and repair questions. The doctor is in.
And welcome to the Car Doctor Show. This is Car Doctor Kevin Raywinkle along with Tom Claxton. If you have any questions, give us a call or send us a text, 343-0106. The show is brought to you by UJ Chevrolet, serving Mobile since 1939.
That's a long time ago. I remember it.
Yeah, I don't.
Oh, you don't remember that? Okay.
I'm taking your word for it.
But, all right. Take my word for it.
We got Alabama Pipe and Supply, Competition Head Service, and Ed's Seafood Shed.
Fabulous seafood shed.
There you go. Copycat in the house.
We also got Jarhead in the house with us.
Jarhead is in the house, and he came through. Marcus.
He brought chicken and dumplings and cornbread.
You're going to have to step your game up a little bit. It looks like.
Really good, too.
I imagine.
It does.
Looks like we got a caller online. Caller, you with us?
The only thing I want to know is Jarhead in the house.
He is here, and he brought some really good.
Chicken and dumplings.
Right.
He brought the chicken and dumplings, and I hate to tell you, you're going to have to step up the game. Donuts ain't going to cut it no more. So,
all right.
Hey, well, come break yourself on. Right. Bring a Tupperware, buddy.
Can I catch that pig that was running down that poor boulevard this morning?
There you go, man. Yeah,
get you. We'll put him on the barbecue grill.
There you go. Drop him, baby. Drop him.
Well, now, Marcus, I told you I was going to bring him chicken and dumplings this week. You ain't here, brother. So,
well,
hey.
My rider, she had something she had to do. I think she got her car fixed today.
Okay.
But I am planning on coming next Monday if that's okay with y'all guys.
Hey, bring it on.
Bring it on.
We're good.
What year did they put the first power stern in a car?
Who?
Look that up, Jarhead.
Don't look it up. Don't look it up, Jarhead. Put it down. What year did they put the first power stern pump in a car?
Oh, my Lord.
I don't know. That's a good one. I'm going to call it somewhere around 1945.
Y'all ready?
Yep.
1951, Chrysler Imperial.
51.
Oh, my goodness.
That was off by 6 years.
On Imperial. He missed it a few years.
I missed it by a few years.
Well, Marcus, your wit is quicker than my thumbs.
He can't even out-Google you.
That's why he was rushing through getting an answer out there.
How was the car thing on Sunday at the racetrack?
Oh, man, we had a blast. We had a bunch of stuff down there Saturday. And a lot of our fine friends and fellows showed up, and we had some of the ladies there from the new venue that we're going to work with.
You was telling me about them.
Yeah, they're building homes for homeless vets.
Yeah, in downtown Mobile area.
Yeah, it's over there. It's between St. Stephen's Road and MLK.
Road.
Yeah. It's back in there behind Franklin Center.
Yeah.
But I went over it. I went over and looked at the homes and talked to some of the guys that are there. And I'm just totally impressed with it.
All right. So what do we need to do to boost the project up? What we need to do?
Well, they're just in a mode where they need some financial support.
Okay.
To, to help do things around there. They've got a company that is buying up these houses,
okay. And
they're remodeling them and fixing them into apartments for these guys. And, they could use money to help buy some groceries and benefit in that area. The facility is there. They pay a fixed fee per month, and they don't have to pay for food or anything else because these ladies also own a food pantry down in the Theodore area out of a church down there.
Beautiful.
So they're bringing some, anytime they have the foods to go out to the individuals, they consider those 12 vets are in that facility right now, and they bring them, 12 portions of food.
Tom, and, to be good, if we can get somebody to write a grant writer, that's what we need.
We have graced them with that. We got in touch with Lou Lartigue with the South Alabama Veterans Council, and Lou's on board with that. He represents like 26 veteran service organizations.
Yeah.
And then we also got in touch with Marine Colonel Jerry Steele. the president of the board, staff board for the Veterans Resources Center over there, and the one that's building the hospital for our detox hospital over there.
On Springer Avenue.
Yeah, and they have actual grant writers that are certified in that field.
Okay.
And they've offered them to these ladies, and they're going to work with them because that facilities or those facilities will be beneficial to Veterans Resources with their hospital dryout detox hospital. These guys are going to need a place to live and stay, you know, to still stay under their mentoring and to make sure they get worked through all of that. So it's just a blessing, you know. You kind of keep looking around until you tie all the loose ends together and make something happen.
Hey, Tom, you know what just popped in my head? I don't know if you're familiar with it or not. It's called the Wings of Life.
I'm familiar with them. I knew the gentleman that started that.
Okay, well, that building is going to be up for sale.
Uh-oh.
And you remember, I don't know if you're that old or not, but there used to be a Catholic school. I
was,
remember that.
Yeah, that was a school over there on St. Louis Street.
Yes, sir. That was the name. That was it.
Yeah.
Where the Wings of Life at, there used to be a Catholic school there.
Well, I that gentleman came out of Life Church.
Yes.
And back in the day, like, so this had to be 30 years or so ago.
Yeah.
I went to Life Church, and he was a good friend of mine.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, he drove a 57 Chevrolet that somebody had donated to him, and I kept that vehicle up for quite a few years.
For sale.
Well, are they closing it?
Good place for veterans.
Yeah, are they closing that facility or what?
Yes, sir. They're closing it and moving it to another location.
Oh, okay. Okay.
They're moving it off of St. Louis Street to somewhere else, and I don't know where it's going to be at.
Okay, I hadn't heard any of that.
If you're in contact with them, you know, that might be a starting point for housing for the veterans.
Yeah, it could be. It could be. They're working with two or three facilities now. Marcus, it all has to do with money. You know,
gotta have money.
Well, I know this is, we're talking about veterans here, and this is a car show, and I apologize for that, but I think it's very important, though. I think it's important.
Yeah.
There's 74, somewhere between 70 and 80 federally funded veterans service organizations, not VFWs, American Legion. I'm talking about
state of Alabama.
On the coast.
Whoa.
That are receiving federal funds, federal grants to take care of veterans.
Mm-hmm.
And my question is, that could be $80 million, you know, because yes, you know, sir. Each one of those is getting over $1 million.
Yes, sir.
And I had I'm really frustrated with that, because what we're doing is we're burning that money up over office personnel and glorified jobs, and the vets are sucking hand tit. Excuse my French.
Sleeping right up on the bridge.
I'm talking about that.
Eating at the garbage can.
Right. I'm talking, you know. Come on. But now, hey, look, there's some
church,
vets.
We are also on St. Louis Street. We at St. Louis Endeavor.
Yeah.
And we feed them, brother. We don't mind. We feed them.
I understand.
Yeah.
But let me say this, too, now. Everything being equal, there are a percentage of vets that are not going to do anything any different than what they're doing right now.
No, sir.
They had rather have that freedom. They don't want to be told do nothing. I ain't working, I ain't doing this, and I ain't doing that.
Ain't paying no bills.
Right.
Doing that.
You know, so, I mean, those people you can't help. But the majority of them, we can and we should.
And I think we should too, sir.
All right, brother. I appreciate your thoughts and appreciate you.
Go ahead. I really appreciate him coming and bringing them chicken and dumplings while I wasn't there.
Hey, Marcus, you know you are invited. Last week when we were down here.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Well, I will be there Monday.
All right.
I will be there next Monday. If I got to bring a live turkey, I will be
there. Lord, my.
And we'll let Joehead take him out back and skin him.
There you go. We'll knock him in the head, twist his neck off or something. Yes,
there you go.
Have a good evening. Thank y'all so much. 1951, Chrysler Imperial was the first one that put a
Power steering pump. That's awesome.
There you go.
Thank you, sir. Have a blessed day.
Thank you, Jaria. Yes. I mean, Marcus.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Now, what are you drinking? I didn't know it was furnace. I'm over here.
I thought that was water.
What was in those dumplings, baby?
Yeah.
Well, y'all seen them green flakes?
Oh, is that what it was? Uh-huh.
I get confused easy anyway. That's all right. So
how did y'all do with the semi racing this past weekend?
Oh, I don't know. I wasn't there. No, I didn't go to that.
We stayed over around the round track with
the car show. Round tracking, baby.
But sounds like it's time for us to take a break. We're going to let you hear from our sponsors, and we'll be back.
Mr. Smith had an Oldsmobile, baby blue with wire wheels. I took her home the day that she was had the time. He said she leaked when it would rain. Sounded like airplanes, but I knew she was a jewel in the sky.
It's the Car Doctor with Kevin Raywinkle and Tom Claxton on FM Talk 106.5. Call Kevin and Tom now at 343-0106 with your car maintenance and repair questions. The doctor is in.
Well, I left Kentucky back in 49. And welcome back to the Car Doctor Show. This is Car Doctor Kevin Raywinkle along with Tom Claxton. If you have any questions, give us a call or send us a text, 343-0106. But since we're talking about, we've been talking about car shows and stuff like that, and had a good time the other day at the round track, Mobile International Speedway.
Right.
Get your car show down there. Car count wasn't quite what we needed, but it was okay.
We had an awesome show. We had some great people down and did a lot of good networking with a lot of the people that were there. And it was a viable deal. We generated some revenue for our veterans. So that's the important part. Oh yeah, that group of ladies there would very sweet ladies.
They were precious.
To think that those two ladies are still working full time jobs, and yet they took the initiative because they saw a need and went in, formed a 501c3, and then from there, they were able to work into the other capacities that was necessary. Uh-huh. To develop the home over there, develop that food pantry, and it's just really, you know.
Right.
When I stood around there and listened to those ladies, and if you've been around spirit-filled people, and especially a lady, it just seems like there's a special vibe that can come off of a spirit-filled lady like that. And, man, I mean, it just make cold chills come on me and hair stand up on the back of my neck, you know. But I thought it was neat. And they've got a 2009 F-350 12-passenger van that needs some work done on it. And I told them I thought I knew somebody that had seen a car or a truck before. But if they will tell me where that vehicle's at, I will help get it back in shape.
Yeah.
I'm going to try to find me somebody that will maybe help donate some parts and give us a discount on the stuff and make that available. I've talked with Scotty Overkirk over there, and Scotty's going to help me get that thing going, you know, as a cost. Mm-hmm. It's a handicap van.
Right.
And it probably needs a hydraulic cylinder, electric motor, or something on the handicap ramp.
Right.
But we ought to get that done. The air conditioner's not working. There's two or three things that are wrong with the motor. We're just going to take care of it, you know.
Yeah, and make it happen.
That's absolutely.
I mean, that's a great thing. And you know, hey, the more you can do that kind of stuff, you know, the better off they're going to be. The better off veterans are. You know, it makes even the people that are donating it brings them up.
Right.
Yeah. So, a great deal, really is. Like I say, it was a really nice little show. I enjoyed it.
I did too. We had good camaraderie there, and we had a good time. We had a good DJ, and they kicked out some good music. Good sounds. He had a nice PA system there. A gentleman has worked the car shows over in Baldwin County for the last 18 years.
Yeah.
So, I mean, he was aware of everything. Also, he's a jarhead, too. You know, he's a Marine. So, yeah.
The weather was absolutely perfect. Ooh,
wasn't it nice?
Yeah, it was really nice. Enjoyed sitting out there in my lawn chair with my cold drink and sit there and watch.
I saw you bought your boss dog. Your boss dog, would you?
Brought my puppy dog with me. She wouldn't let me out of the house with it without her Saturday morning. That's her day, I guess. But she enjoyed being down there at the racetrack with me, and everybody. She enjoyed meeting everybody because, trust me, everybody she come across, she greeted.
So. Oh, she did greet them.
But, we had a good time, though. Really did.
Well, let me ask you guys.
Yeah, go ahead, Doc.
They've had Cruising the Coast.
Right.
Are they not having some kind of car show down at the Battleship here before long?
Next year, I think. I think it's somewhere in March.
Yeah, Battle at Bama. Yeah. Craig, what's his name? Craig
Riley.
Craig Riley.
Yeah.
From he's the
body shop manager.
Body shop manager.
BMW.
Yeah.
And
Battle in Mama. They have what 1,200 cars registered.
Oh yeah.
For that show.
It's a big show.
It's a big deal.
Yeah,
it's
also the last time I seen it. I mean, it was fantastic.
Oh, it was. It was awesome. I've been over there and enjoyed that.
Yeah, it's also a national C10 club. Event also.
So oh, it is? Okay.
You'll see all kind of little Chevy trucks over there. They've got some really neat stuff that shows up for that, plus any kind of car. I mean,
oh,
cars, trucks, motorcycles, whatever.
And the hydraulic stuff that's over there, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Man, it's unbelievable. Yeah.
And they had, I was looking at car count from Cruising the Coast, and they had over 9,800 vehicles registered. At Cruising the Coast.
But, you know, that's only a tip of the iceberg, though, of the actual vehicles that are there.
Yeah. Yeah, it's, I mean, I took two cars over there this year and didn't register either one of them.
Right,
yeah, so
right.
There's an awful lot of people like me that'll just go over there for a day here or there.
Yep.
And
unwind, man.
Not try and do the whole event, but just go there, see good friends, and see what kind of hot rods are out there this year.
Yeah, get a dose of RPMs.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, it's... I enjoy just getting over there, sitting on the side of the road and watching the stuff go by.
Watch the human race, huh?
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's...
nothing wrong with that.
You sit still for just a little while, and everybody's going to drive by eventually.
There you go. Yeah. So, well, what about you, Jarhead? Where did you go this weekend? You were talking about Tampa deal. What happened down there?
Well, we took a little a grill and some propane and some food over to the D.C. over there.
What's
in
a D.C.?
Distribution center.
Okay, we'll take that.
And cooked for them folks over there who had, went through this hurricane. And
okay.
So, you know, it was a good time.
That had to be a good time to be able to.
Yeah, I'm sure they are really, really, really appreciated because, you know, I mean, they got blistered over there over the during that hurricane.
Yeah.
They're talking about now that the hurricane season is winding down, and I'm thankful for that. Because
don't need any more.
No,
we had enough. We had a big enough dose of hurricane in Florida.
I can take a Cat 1 coming right up here in Mobile, because you know that we got thunderstorms.
Oh,
more wind than Cat 1, but
right.
That thing that went over there in Florida, no, you keep it's, that thing awake. Keep that thing over there somewhere else.
Well, and I'm just naturally we're glad that it didn't hit our area, but on the other hand, we need to pray. And for these people, and then help them any way we can to get through this event, because all you have to do is stop and say, hey.
Could have been us.
A few more degrees, it could have been us.
Right.
Yeah.
Could have been us.
Right. And, a friend of ours and a sponsor on a race car, one of the things his company does is clean up after these storms.
Mm-hmm.
And he sent Tommy a message that that the other day was his first day on Sanibel Island down there.
Oh, my God.
And he said it's just...
Totally devastated, isn't it?
Well, he was like, words can't describe. You know, it's just, it's the worst he's ever seen. And he's been part of the cleanup on the coast on all these major storms that come through.
Yeah, for what, 20 years or so?
Yeah, last 20 or so years. And he's seen all these big storms. And it's been just... And it's absolutely devastated.
It is. It's just unbelievable. Unbelievable.
You know, I've seen, you know, we had a house on Dolphin Island and we've gone through storms and I've seen the devastation it can cause, on barrier islands like that. And it's unreal what it can move around.
You would go back to what it was, 79?
Frederick.
When Frederick was here, and I think, you know, and my dad had like three lots down there off of DIP. My sister reminded me of the number the other day. He lost 28 pine trees.
Yeah.
28 pine trees on his property, and thank the Lord, mm-hmm. not one of them hit the damn house or his garage. Go ahead.
Y'all have a caller, and y'all just don't know it right now.
Okay.
The person that made those chicken and dumplings
Woo!
Wants to know where's a good place to get her back window repaired. She's got a leak. Regina's got a leak on the back window.
Uh-oh. Right? Now, what kind of vehicle are we talking about?
F-150. Back window, right around where it comes around and curls.
Yeah.
You can see where water has been coming in. So she said, what's the best place to get our...
I'd say Mark Jones at Precision Auto Glass.
Oh, yeah. All right, there you go, Regina. So,
off Montlemar.
If she made those chicken and dumplings, I know damn good well you didn't do it. But because they taste too good, you know, and you jarhead would be wanting to put some of that other stuff in there.
Yeah, right. But you didn't slow down on that cornbread either.
Well, I did do some lip smacking on that cornbread. So I guess you made that.
Yes, I did. Well, I tried to get her to call in.
Can I get a pawn a week?
Yeah. We do have a caller online here. Caller, are you with us?
She said thanks.
Hello, caller, are you with us? Yep, must have lost him. But if you got a question, call us back. We'll get you on as quick as we can. So, but anyway, it's,
that being said about Mark Jones. Now we're talking about Precision Auto Glass over there off of
Montlemar and Pleasant Valley.
Is the Expressway Carpet?
I believe that's what it is.
These buildings are behind there, mm-hmm. but he has some pressurized water deal that he could run the vehicle through and check it out and see what's wrong with it. He's probably got five techs over there in those five or six stalls that he's got. They're there all day long, so there's no problem with it.
And a lot of times they can seal that without pulling the glass out also.
Yeah.
So
oh, yeah.
They do a good job, really do.
You let me know when she's going, or I'll call Mark and tell her.
I'll do it.
Yeah, I'll be glad to help with
Speaking
that.
Speaking of Mark, it's been a while since we've had him on there. We need to get him back on there.
Well, you know what? I was really blessed. He was one of my sponsors at the car show.
Yeah.
Always stepping up.
Always. But looks like we got another caller or got the caller back. So, but looks like we're about to run out of time here. So, caller, if you will hang on, we will get you on there after this break so everybody can hear from our sponsors. We'll be back.
She said, thank you.
That's not a...
Well, it's Monday morning. He's kissing Mama goodbye. He's up and gone with the sun. Daddy drives an 18-wheeler. And he's off on a Midwest run. And three sad faces gather round.
It's The Car Doctor with Kevin Raywinkle and Tom Claxton on FM Talk 106.5. Call Kevin and Tom now at 343-0106 with your car maintenance and repair questions. The Doctor is in.
And welcome back to the Car Doctor Show. This is Car Doctor Kevin Remco along with Tom Claxton. You have any questions, give us a call or send us a text, 343-0106. And speaking of giving us a call, we have Ray online. Ray, you with us?
Yeah, good evening, Dr. Kevin, Mr. Claxton, and Jarhead.
All right, you remember my name.
The gang's all here.
I'm going to leave you out. Hey, I want to publicly thank Dr. Kevin for helping me, and he's truly the best. And he's the doctor that other doctors, when they cannot do the job, they will call Dr. Kevin. He's
the dang truth.
Yep. Yeah, somebody got to be.
Cell phone stays hot.
Yeah. When you're good, you're good.
He's very good, and he deserves every credit in the world he can get. He's the best I have ever seen.
Wait a minute, Ray. His damn head's swelling.
That's right.
His head's swelling. Right. Hold on.
His headphones just popped off.
Earphones just popped off his head.
Well, Ray has proved that you can...
He's a great human being too, you know, and yep. I really appreciate him.
He's a good guy.
I appreciate it. But Ray's living proof that, you can fix anything with duct tape, but you do need to change it once in a while. So
it's a, oh, it ain't lifetime?
It's not lifetime
duct tape. I thought it was lifetime.
So, yeah, but it...
Hey, yeah. Get rid of that.
It does deteriorate after a while. It's kind of a temporary repair. Yeah. So
get that Gorilla tape. It lasts longer.
Yeah, it lasts a little longer. So.
Dr. Kevin, uh-huh. on the subject of power steering, how does the electric power steering, I know all these newer cars, they're going to electric power
right.
steering. Can you let us know how that one works?
Yeah, and it's... it's really a neat deal. It uses electric motor just like any other electric motor, but it has a torque sensor built into the steering gear that senses just like your hydraulic power steering does. It has a spool valve with a torque. And it's got a little torque rod in there. Looks like a little sway bar, for lack of better terms, in there that twists when you put pressure on it. Well, you know, same thing in there, and it knows which way you're turning and how much effort you're putting to it. So it knows, okay, I need to go this way and add boost going this direction or going back the other way. And it uses a lot of sensors, and it does use a lot of power. So one of the key things is don't go just buy the cheapest battery you can find and put in
right,
a car with
right.
electric power steering.
Can't do that.
You can't do it. You got to have good, clean connections because mm-hmm. mm-hmm. we have people all the time that well, you know, every time I go to pull in a parking spot, my car dies. Well, yeah, it probably is. So, you know, most of the time it's a bad connection, maybe a bad battery cable. Stuff we could get away with on older cars.
In older days, yeah.
But you can't do it now.
Well, Kevin, I had a friend of mine who's got that electric power steering. He says it does not pull, like when you run into a puddle of water on the side of the road, it does not pull like the old power steering does. Is that true?
It could still do that because, you know, some, but you don't get as much, you know, where the hydraulic power steering, you know, when you used to hit a bump or whatever, you know, the steering would jerk out of your hands almost when you didn't have mm-hmm. power steering.
Right.
Then hydraulic power steering fixed a lot of that. This has actually calmed that down some too. But you also have cars that have lane keep assist and all this, so it's trying to keep your car straight all the time anyway. So it's trying to hold your car centered in the lane and all this kind of stuff. So, you know, they've corrected a lot of things with them. Early on, we were having a lot of torque sensor and steering angle sensor problems. But that's, you know, on 15-year-old cars now. The newer stuff, we really haven't had near the trouble out of.
Okay.
So
that's enlightening to me because I didn't really understand all of that. I did have the occasion of driving a 70-something model car this weekend back from down at the track.
Uh-huh.
And I forgot how the steering felt on those early model vehicles versus when you get into one of them now, pimp rides.
Right,
and
right.
grab a hold of steering and that, you know, I'm going like, dang. I'm glad my girlfriend didn't drive this thing. She'd have been in a ditch somewhere. You know, because there's so much difference in the feel and,
right.
you know, and the looseness of it. You know, and all of them is going to have a little bit of wear in it.
Right.
And you can, like, take a lot of that out with just that one little screw down there, adjustment on the power steering box. But, our steering sector, that is. But there is so much difference. I just...
Yeah.
You move, you progress from the 70s, 80s, 90s, and 20s, you know, up into now where we in the years that mm-hmm. we are, and then you gradually benefit from the greater steering feel and the power and power brakes as well
mm-hmm.
that we get from that versus what we were accustomed to back in those, you know, 60s, 70s, and 80s vehicles back there.
Right.
It's so much difference.
Well, you know, driving some of these classic cars, it's a whole different experience. You know,
it is.
But you know, it's to me, it's enjoyable to get out in the older cars and mess around.
Right.
It's all analog. It's all, you know, very simple.
Oh well, yeah.
You know, if I break down on the side of the road, I can get it fixed.
Well, you know, I went back to the old days. Where you know now we're accustomed to driving. If you don't see a red light blinking, everything's okay.
Right.
But, you know, because now we have so many sensors and electronic components mm-hmm. that are involved that if some quarter ounce of or a quarter of a volt drops off of a unit or Sydney unit somewhere, we're going to get a red light.
Right.
I was driving that vehicle, and I'm going like, I wonder what the oil pressure is. I look down over the oil gauge, you know, we're running.
You can see the oil pressure, see the temperature, see everything on it.
I'm looking at the temperature gauge, you know, and I'm going like, this is cool. I can get back into this. We don't have that in newer vehicles, though.
I've run into the same thing with the tire pressure sensor gauge.
Right. Oh, yeah.
Yep.
When I come up driving cars, I knew how to get out and check my tires.
Oh, yeah. With a tire gauge.
With a tire gauge. I didn't have to have one to tell me when it's cold all of a sudden in the morning, well, my tires are going to be a little bit low. And when I drive it down the road, they're going to get hot and they're going, and there goes that damn light again.
Right, right.
Oh, yeah. Yep. Yeah. Looks like we have another caller on hold over here. Let's see.
We still got Rapid Ray, too.
Ray, what you got anything else for us tonight?
Well, I just was going to say that you're the best, and whoever wants to come and see you, you are at UJ Chevrolet, and I'm not affiliated with the dealership. So
right.
I'm just a customer.
The check's in the mail, Ray.
So they are the best, and Steve over there.
Don't bet on that.
He's one of the nicest checks in the mail. You can ever meet.
Yep, he is. Does a great job. Thank you, Ray.
But, y'all have
always,
a good night.
All right, good always
guy.
Good to hear from you.
Awesome.
But, all right, Phil, let's see who else we got online. Caller, you with us?
Yeah, I'm with you.
Okay, what do we do for you tonight?
Can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
How y'all doing tonight?
Oh, we're doing good. How are you?
Not bad. So my neighbor has got a 17 Sierra with 5.3.
Uh-huh.
He's got he's number one's misfiring. It's a stuck lifter.
Yep.
I want to help him out. So I'm thinking I just want to snatch the head, do lifters on bank one, and put it back together. But I've heard you need to go ahead and do oil pump, camshaft, the whole nine yards. I mean, what's the success
Not necessarily.
Rate if I snatch that head and replace lifters on bank one, put it back together?
Well, there's a couple things. All right. First off, as long as it's just the lifter, and the key thing is pull that lifter out, flip it over, look at the roller. If the roller is not perfect, you got to put a camshaft in it. You know?
Okay.
Another thing to look at, you can pull that valve cover off and crank that motor on just the other four cylinders. Crank it and watch it as soon as you're spinning it over. See if that rocker is moving and then quits moving as soon as it fires up. If it does that, then more than likely you have a camshaft that has a rough spot that is making that lifter unlock.
Gotcha.
So, you know, as long as the lobe is perfect, and when I say perfect, I mean perfect, on that camshaft, you can put lifters on it, put it back together, and you'll probably be okay. The other thing that you need to really consider changing is the V-loam manifold down between the heads. It's the controller for the hydraulic part of that those lifters, and that is part of the problem that's causing the lifters. So,
really?
So you really need to change that piece as well, which you can do while you've got the one head off. So you can get it out of there. So,
gotcha.
But if you do it, that is, and the biggest problem right now is getting the parts.
They're
hard to get a hold to. You can do them aftermarket, and I'm okay with aftermarket stuff. But check and see if you can get your hands on him before you go pulling stuff down. So
he's still driving it. Is that? I mean, obviously that probably could jump.
That's not a good idea. If it is stuck, it's really not good for it. If that camshaft wasn't hurt, the more he drives it, the more likely it is going to be hurt.
That's what I told him.
Yeah. So. Which it's a much bigger job if you got to do the camshaft. You're talking about pulling both heads, and you can't replace just the one or two lifters.
Yeah.
You got to do all of them.
I was like, man, if you want to do it the right way, I mean, I'm gonna have to snatch both heads and do the whole thing. So
right.
Just curious, is it easier to snatch that engine and do everything you know on a stand, or can I do it in the truck?
You know, we do them in the truck all the time. it really just depends on, you know, if you don't mind leaning over it for, you know, a few hours, you know, to pull that one head, it's no big deal. You know, I'd pull the one head, do it, and back out. And heck, you know, our guys, you can just about do it before lunchtime, you know. But if you got to go into the camshaft, yeah, you know, it's kind of a toss-up, you know.
Usually when I work on GMs and there's an internal engine problem, I just say, hey, man, let's put a used one.
Right. So, you know, me personally, if I'm going to pull, like, I've got an 07 Tahoe, and it had the same issue. I pulled the motor out to do mine. You know, I'm an old guy and fat, and I just don't like leaning over them that long. And in about an hour, hour and a half, I can have it on the stand.
I'll pull heads and do a lot of chains and head gasket stuff to 5-liter Land Rover. So,
yep.
I mean, it's not that bad.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm just trying to help this guy out.
Okay.
Kind of went through a bunch of stuff, so.
Yep, I understand.
Trying to help him out.
Well, I appreciate you calling in. It looks like we run up to a break here, but you know, help your buddy out. I appreciate you doing that. So anyway, we'll let you hear from our sponsors, and we'll be back.
It's the Car Doctor with Kevin Raywinkle and Tom Claxton on FM Talk 106.5. Call Kevin and Tom now at 343-0106 with your car maintenance and repair questions. The doctor is in.
And welcome back to the Car Doctor Show. This is Car Doctor Kevin Remco along with Tom Claxton. If you have any questions, give us a call or send us a text, 343-0106. But, Philip, I think you can probably hang that one up now. I think that's our last caller. There you go. So, but anyway, guys.
Question. You talked to that gentleman a while ago about that ride.
Uh-huh.
And so being from an old machine shop days of building motors and what have you, the first thing I think about when I start hearing about something camshafts wearing or lifters wearing or low motor on a roller lifters wearing, I'm thinking about if that's wearing, then that's putting powdered metal into the oil.
Mm-hmm.
And in turn, it's going to just pump it all through the motor. And what I've seen over the years is sometimes that powdered metal, it gets impregnated into the soft layer of your rods and mains and cam bearings. And it sets up a continuous wear pattern there. So is there any new way that has been designed or figured out over the last 20 years or so where you can flush the oil out or flush that out? Or is there any way to pressurize that oil system to alleviate that problem or not?
You know, Tom, there's the best way is to pull, I mean, ideally you would want to take it all the way apart, clean everything out, put it back together. But that's not feasible a lot of times, you know, money-wise. But if you drop the oil pan, you pull the timing cover, you take the oil pump off, you can clean all that stuff out and put it back together. You blow out the passages you can. You always want to blow out the oil passages going to the lifters. You're replacing the V-Loam assembly, which is the valve oil lifter manifold.
Okay.
You're replacing that, and then that has places that you can't flush out and all that, and that's part of the reason you're wanting to replace it. When you put it back together, you're putting fresh oil, fresh filters, all this kind of stuff in. So if there is just, you know, some minor particles in some passages, usually they'll go to the oil filter and they stop there.
Okay.
So you're not too bad off there. Luckily, you know, they've changed the bearings in these motors. They run such a tight clearance.
That was where I was going next, is the difference in the tolerances.
Well, the tolerance is one, but they're the bearings in our stuff back in the 60s, 70s, and even early 80s was a soft rabbit material on the bearing.
Right. Tri-ply bearing, they call it.
Yeah. Nowadays, it's a much harder surface. Okay. It's harder to scratch, harder to damage. They figured out that they don't need that that soft material there to make it work.
Mm-hmm.
You know, of course, our machining and tolerances and the ability to make round pieces
is
way better than what it used to be. Yeah. So
well, I was just thinking one of the things that we'd done at the shop, we had built a like a high pressure hose, high pressure deal that where you could put a stream in, like through a little quarter inch piece of aluminum pipe or whatever. And we would run it through a pickup in a container and pressurize mineral spirits,
right?
To flush under pressure to flush that stuff out with,
right?
And that'll eliminate a lot of it back in the day.
Yeah. I mean, it's like when I changed the camshaft in my Tahoe, I actually changed pistons as well, so I had the rods and pistons and all out of the camshaft out of it. So I had most of the passages open.
Right.
I didn't pull the crank out, but everything else was out.
Oh, yeah, but you could flush all
so
that
I could flush it out pretty well. Okay. I took it outside, hosed it down, washed the inside of the motor out, did a pretty thorough job of doing all that. So, I got all those contaminants out of it, so I felt confident in that.
I want to stir up something now.
Huh?
I want to stir up something now. You have been a service manager and tech for four or five different dealerships, four or five different brands. When you guys had a factory recall, or even to this date, well, especially, I guess we need to talk more about it today.
Yeah.
If you get a factory recall and those people call into your dealership and they tell you, they've got their right numbers and all, so you set up a date for that vehicle to come in and time. And you know that there's one specific item on there that you've got to replace.
Right.
Would you have that part in stock?
Normally we do. Of course they don't release those parts to you. Normally they send you a stock shipment of items. They know about how many you should have coming in.
Well, yeah, they've got that knowledge. Yeah,
and they'll pre-ship those parts to you. So now later on in the recall, you may have to start, keeping up with and knowing how many you need to get so you don't get stuck with a bunch of them down the road. Yeah. So it's sometimes it's an issue, but not too bad.
Well, I mean, it just seems to me that if I knew on my books, on my service records, that I had six vehicles coming in this week.
Right.
And they were going to replace a brake light switch.
Right.
Which they call it something different now, but it's still a damn brake light switch.
Yeah.
That I'd have six or seven of those suckers in stock.
That would probably be a good idea.
Because
I
run into that today with a car, and now they took all the time to go through the service department. Go to the service department and get it in line, run it into the shop, do all the diagnostics on it, wrote a ticket on it, a zero ticket.
Right.
So they couldn't bill it because they didn't replace it.
Right.
But so I'm sure they had to diagnose it, make sure that was the right one.
Right. Right.
So then they want to keep the car for a couple of days till they got the part in.
Yeah.
Well, wait a damn minute.
Right.
They knew all those cars were coming. Why didn't they have the parts?
Right.
And I made sure, and I know we only have a couple of minutes, I made sure that I asked specifically, does this specific unit have a chip of any kind in it?
Right.
No.
Right.
So then,
Right.
So are we that far behind in all of our industry on getting parts and pieces?
Well, and recalls are different from your regular parts ordering because it's not like there's a bunch of old inventory out there you can use and start putting on these cars. It's an updated part. So it all has to be a new build part that they've got now to put on your car. So, yes, if they scheduled you in to get it done, then, yes, they should have looked. Now, a lot of this stuff is you don't know how many of them you really need because a lot of it is – there's differences. Some you do inspections, and if it has the certain part or certain failure, you replace. And some is you just flat out replace. Mm-hmm. I know we had one on our tracks here a couple years ago that was inspect lower control arms, and about a quarter of the ones we looked at probably had to be replaced. Mm-hmm. So you couldn't just look at. We got 50 of them coming in, so we need control arm for 50 cars.
Yeah.
Kevin, Tom asked about the the metal pieces in the oil and stuff a while ago. And I want to get your choice on this. What do you think about the magnetic drain plugs?
Love them.
Yeah, I like them. We run them in our race car
for that
reason. Yeah, because there's always it's always good to anytime you can keep oil from going somewhere in that motor is not supposed to be, you're good. You know,
metal. Just got metal in it. Yeah.
And it'll actually scare you. You know, if you put a magnetic drain plug in one and you go running hard for a while,
you can put it in your oil pan. You can put it in your transmission.
Oh yeah.
Everywhere else.
Well, most transmission pans have a magnet in them, and a lot of rear ends have it too. You know, and it trust me, it'll scare you when you look at them. You know, but sounds like it's we've come to the end of our show.
Run us out.
I want to thank everybody for listening to the Car Doctor Show tonight, and I want to thank Jarhead
for
letting
me sit in with y'all.
Amen. And we appreciate the dumplings and cone bread, brother. Yes, I'm gonna go partake of some right now.
Regina, I'm on the way home.
There you go, Bo. And to all of our veterans and first responders out there, God bless all of you. And we appreciate everything that you do. Hoorah.
Simplify.